This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Our focus today is the new master plan for the University of Nevada, Reno campus that was approved by the Nevada System of Higher Education Board of Regents in December. The plan encompasses a number of wide-ranging objectives and reflects input from a variety of stakeholders in setting a new vision for the campus and the surrounding community. The university master plan elevates the conversation about Northern Nevada as a true university town, and it's a prime example of close collaboration among the university community, the city of Reno, and the Regional Transportation Commission. Joining me in the studio today to talk about the new master plan is University of Nevada, Reno Provost, Dr. Kevin Carman. Welcome, Kevin.
Great to be here, David.
And Reno City Manager, Andrew Klinger. Welcome to KUNR.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Kevin, this has been quite an endeavor with an outcome that I know you're excited about. What does the master plan mean to the university and to our community?
Well, we're required by the Board of Regents to have a master plan, and we're also required to update that plan every 10 years. And so that timing came up for us to initiate that process last year. We also simultaneously updated our strategic plan, which outlines the vision and the directions that we're going as a university. And so it was really a great opportunity to bring those two plans together. But the impetus was because we're required to do it. But it happened to be that there was a great opportunity to partner with the city of Reno, with RTC, and many stakeholders in the community to develop this plan. So that's basically what we started about a year ago.
Andrew Klinger, as city manager, what does this plan represent for the city of Reno?
Well, for us, it goes back to the IBM Smarter Cities Challenge grant that the city of Reno received. And out of that report came a recommendation from IBM that the city of Reno needed to look at, you know, a vision for the future. What do we want to be? And one of the things that came out of there was this vision of university town and this university town concept. So when we found out the university was updating their master plan, you know, we wanted to be a part of that, and they welcomed us as part of that so that we could work together so that we can both, you know, further this idea of let's create Reno as more of a university town. I mean, university's been here for a long time, but I think the concept of a true university town is something that this community is ready to embrace.
Kevin, what would that mean to our community to be a true university town?
It means a lot of things, and it means different things to different people. But I know I've heard many times about Interstate 80 representing a type of a moat that separates the university from the city of Reno. And certainly when you get off of the interstate, you don't necessarily immediately realize that you're on a university campus. But more importantly, what we're talking about in a university town is a university being a major economic stimulus to the city and the region. I was at the Directions 2015 program sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce recently, and Jeremy Aguaro mentioned that the University of Nevada, Reno is the single most important economic asset of Northern Nevada. And so it's really building off of that and becoming more of an asset for the city and the region.
Andrew, this has been a highly collaborative process. Is that unusual for the city to be this involved with the university's master plan?
I think it is, and I think it's the first time that the city of Reno has been involved in the university's master plan to the level that we were. I mean, over the course of a year, we had several meetings that myself and my staff working with the university and Dr. Carman and the other staff, were involved in putting this together. And we went through lots of machinations of this thing and what it looked like. But I do think it was very unique for us to be involved at the level that we were. And, you know, we've had some reporters come here and talk to us from out of the region, and we've talked about this, and they have been surprised at the level of collaboration that we've had with the university because they say they haven't seen that in other communities.
And I guess if we're trying to establish a true university town, it would seem imperative that the city and the university would be collaborating on the master planning process.
It is absolutely essential. So we want to, for example, establish transportation corridors that move people from the city into the university and back and forth and have students and faculty feel safe. We want the university to be an asset to startup companies and entrepreneurial activities. We would like to see development of housing and retail projects that are near the university that create the type of environment that provides that type of vibrancy of what a university town really means. The cultural things, that the aspects of the university are musical and theatrical productions. Again, we want people coming on campus, and we want to be in the community with those. So the city plays a major role in facilitating that. We're talking about, for example, vacating Center Street between 8th and 9th Street and creating a pedestrian mall there with new academic buildings. Without the city's assistance, that wouldn't happen, wouldn't be able to happen. So those are examples, including zoning issues, but where the city plays a really major role in making this all happen.
And the collaboration is not just between the university and the city, but also includes the Regional Transportation Commission. Why is that so vital to this plan?
Well, their involvement is critical because part of the plan includes, you know, transit and how you get people onto campus and how you get people off of the campus. And so having RTC involved, I think, was critical for the project because you start talking about, well, where are we going to put the various bus stops? What makes the most sense given what the campus looks like and what the university wants the campus to look like? So, and, you know, as well as the pedestrian access, you know, bike access. I mean, that's one of the things that we're looking at as a community is how do we increase that, bike access to various areas of the community, and the university is one that's probably one of the most important, really.
Absolutely. So there's some major changes being proposed for Virginia and Evans as corridors along the east and west sides of the university, not only in the university part of those streets, but continuing on down into the city. And so this is, again, all part of making this a seamless transition between the university and the city. And as Andrew said, the RTC is just vitally important to that effort.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik, and we're talking about the new University of Nevada Reno Master Plan with Provost Kevin Carman and Reno City Manager Andrew Klinger. Kevin, this is a 10-year plan. What are some of the key milestones?
Well, it's actually important to distinguish what a 10-year plan means. We're required to update our plan every 10 years, but it's not necessarily a 10-year plan. In fact, most of our focus is on the relatively near-term horizon in the next 5 to 6 years. Of trying to get some of these initiatives moving. We're also looking out beyond 10 years in the plan of some areas, but mainly it's focused on the near term and getting some of these initiatives going. Some of these transportation corridors that we talked about could really have a catalytic event if we transform Virginia Street and make it into the type of avenue, if you will, that really says this is a university and stimulates economic development. We're looking at developing buildings in the area between 8th and 9th and Evans and Virginia, and having more of a visible presence there, housing, academic buildings. And we're hoping in turn, and I'd like Andrew to comment on this, but we're really looking for the catalyst that will get economic development going in the northern part of Reno that is really going to be a key element of this whole initiative.
So part of what we have done, and the council, city council has already taken action on this, was to adjust the university center boundaries. So where those boundaries used to go to the east of campus, they now come south into downtown. So that really speaks to some of the land use issues and what's allowed there. And as a good example, through that change, by bringing those university center boundaries into downtown, what we did with that is actually took out gaming. So in that area that is now the university district, if you will, in northern downtown, gaming is not allowed in that area. And so part of what you're trying to do as a city and with the university's help is to create some incentives to get the private sector to begin to invest in those areas in a different way than maybe they were looking at that area before. And, you know, with the city and RTC, part of the other piece of this is that physical connection to the campus, you know, the Virginia Street corridor. And I know RTC is working on some plans there on the entire Virginia Street corridor. And so that connection to the university on Virginia Street, as Dr. Carman said, is critical. And the lighting and those other things in that area, you know, just the physical infrastructure that if a pedestrian or, you know, a student on a bicycle is in that area, you want them to feel comfortable, you want them to feel safe, you want to encourage that movement over Interstate 80, which right now if you walk through that area, it doesn't necessarily feel real comfortable as a pedestrian or a biker.
I would add to that that something that I became more attuned to through this process is we heard a lot about the I-80 does represent a barrier that we need to build bridges over. Well, in fact, we have those. It's really not hard to get over I-80. It's in Evans and Virginia. It's not a problem. It's really more what Andrew's talking about is how you feel when you're going over I-80. We have the ability to go up and down those streets, but we want people to do so and feel safe and secure.
Andrew, you say the gaming has moved out of the northern edge of the downtown area, so this becomes a continuous flow from downtown into the university. Is that how this physically will be and how that will feel as a new sense of the community in that area?
That is absolutely the vision, is to bring that university presence into North Downtown. Like Dr. Carmen said, you know, there could be some academic activities there. There could be student housing going on there. That in turn, you know, turns into retail and restaurants and some of those sorts of activities. Like you see in other communities, when you think of a university village, if you will, that's really what we're trying to get to in that North Downtown area.
And in addition to that, we see that as being a benefit, not competing with other initiatives in the city, such as the wonderful things going on in Midtown. We know that our students and faculty, and including me, love to go down to Midtown and eat and shop there. So this is really just going to help continue that. Right now there's a gap between us and Midtown. You've got to make some effort to get through northern Reno to get there. So we think that this is going to facilitate more activity in Midtown. And I'd also like to add that there's been some concern that maybe this was anti-gaming or anti-casino. Not the case at all. The major casinos in downtown Reno are very supportive of this initiative, have been involved in the discussions, and they see this as being beneficial to them and their business interests. So this is really, almost amazingly, a situation where everybody seems to get it and be on the same page.
Kevin, many people think about a master plan as a map where buildings will eventually be placed or where parking and roads are going. But this is much more than that. There's a lot of new vision involved. So what else is in the plan?
Yeah, there are many, many critical elements to it. We are aspiring to as a university to be recognized as among the nation's elite research universities, to be classified as a research university very high by the Carnegie Foundation. To do that, we're going to need to enhance our research infrastructure, our facilities. And the plan includes some fairly detailed discussions of what is needed and how we might go about achieving those goals by repurposing existing buildings, adding new buildings, where they might go, where that makes sense for them to be, and how that in turn interfaces with this whole idea of how we interact with the community. One building I would mention that will be opening in August is the Innovation Center, which is down on Sinclair Street. Again, it was formerly a city building. We're repurposing that into a facility that will be a resource for the community and entrepreneurial activity and have maker spaces. That's part of the master plan, as well as is developing out those economic development components of the university. And I'll add one other piece, is we're a growing university. We have more and more students. We need to add student housing, and the master plan addresses where that housing might go and what type of housing it might be. Our goal, universities of our type typically would house about 25% of our total student population. As I always like to point out when I'm talking with interested groups, that means 75% of them are not living on campus. And so there's a lot of housing potential for private economic development to accommodate those students. And we're going to hire 300 faculty over the next several years. They need a place to live. There's all of these elements are part of the plan.
Does the new master plan expand the physical footprint of the university in North Reno?
Yeah, we certainly hope it does. I mean, that's been the intent for us. And much like the university started their strategic planning process and their master planning process a year ago, we are now formally starting those activities at the City of Reno. We will start our new strategic plan in March. We will start our new master plan, you know, later this spring. And so for us, it's that vision of we want to become, again, the university town, but also a high-tech center. You know, there's a lot of high-tech companies that are now looking at Reno as a place to do business. And so we want to encourage that type of activity, and we think that link to the university is absolutely critical to make that happen.
And as far as the building out of the university, I mentioned the Virginia to Evans 8th to 9th, that whole corridor there, we see substantial development in the coming years. There is some confusion sometimes when people look at this university district and they assume that the university is going to be building buildings down into the northern part of Reno. We want to partner with the private sector and be an asset, but we don't have plans to acquire those properties or to extend the university itself. But there may be footprints there, and there may be strategic connections. And again, we want to be an asset for that development, and it will be mutually beneficial.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik, talking with Reno City Manager Andrew Klinger and University Provost Kevin Carmen. We're visiting about the new University of Nevada Reno Master Plan that was approved by the Board of Regents in December. Now, we want the community to come to events and see the beautiful campus, but it's not always easily accessible. So how will the Master Plan help change this?
Well, I think if you can bring that campus into downtown as we're visualizing, And you create that university village concept, that becomes a place not just for university students, but that becomes a place for the community to come as well. And, you know, as well as what we call the Gateway Project, which is, you know, sort of the front door of the university. I think it's some, you know, depending on what happens there, that's another area where potentially you can get the community to come and interact with the university in a way that maybe they haven't in the past.
Absolutely. And we recognize this is an inherent problem of universities of our type and sizes, accessibility to the public. But that is part of the master plan as well, as looking at some possibilities, maybe areas where we can put parking garages or facilities that will help the community be able to more easily come on to campus. And as Andrew said, moving the university activities on down into the community would also facilitate that.
The plan comes at a time where there are new businesses and industry spurring growth in the area, and the university is also experiencing record enrollment. So really you have to expand capacity and access for the university at the same time. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'll comment that when we began this planning process, again, about a year ago, we were projecting that we were going to have 22,000 students over the next 5 to 6 years. During the course of that year, we came to realize that the university was growing much more rapidly than we had originally predicted, and we're really looking at being at 25,000 students in the next possibly 2 to 3 years. And so that's great for the city in terms of economic impact and development, great for attracting companies like Tesla and Switch and those sorts of outstanding economic stimuli for the community, but also a challenge for the university to meet that demand. But it's an exciting challenge to face.
Andrew, you mentioned the city is about to start its planning. How does this help the city plan what it's going to do next?
Well, it becomes a key input into our process, because now that we have this university piece set, and this was the idea, you know, from the very beginning when we partnered with the university on this, we knew that we were going to be updating our master plan. And so we wanted to have this piece then become part of our master plan. So as we plan our community, and in particular this downtown area, that will feed right into our plans. And really part of that is going out to the community and asking the community, you know, what they want their community to look like. And this will be a key component of our plan in the end.
Now, when you look through the master plan, you'll see that it integrates things like sustainability, stewardship of resources, campus safety and security, residential housing, new growth in technology, and other areas that need to be accommodated. But Kevin, there's also an emphasis on preserving and honoring the beauty, the history, the character of this campus. How does that fit in with this master plan?
Well, it's integral to the plan. It's a part of what makes this a wonderful university. And time again, when you talk to students and parents and just visitors of the community, when they come on campus, they are just amazed at the beauty of the old quad. Buildings like Morrill Hall and Lincoln and Manzanita, Clark Hall, they are just a part of what makes this place special. And so we are absolutely committed to preserving those buildings and making good use of them. As you know, we're taking Lincoln and Manzanita halls offline for dormitories because we're concerned about earthquake vulnerability. But we're going to repurpose them and make good use of them. So that's just an inherent part of this plan and of our path forward, is preserving our legacy as well as looking forward to our future.
Now, on another visit, we'll talk more about the university's strategic plan that was also approved by the Regents in December that reflects the vision of this master plan. But Andrew, what's next for you with the university and the city?
Yeah, we're going to continue to be in a collaborative effort with the university on this. And really, we're looking for that project that becomes the catalyst. And as, you know, Dr. Carmen said, we're not, you know, south of I-80, we're not looking for the university to come in and start buying up parcels. What we're looking for is that, you know, that partnership with the private sector to become the catalyst for this area. And so really, that's the next step when it comes to this project.
Kevin, there's been a year of planning and input. What's next for the university with implementing this master plan?
Well, it's very easy with a master plan. You spend all this time and effort and money developing a plan, and you're all proud of it, and everybody gives themselves high fives, and you put it on the shelf, and you look at it 10 years later and see what happened. That's not what's going to happen here. This is going to be a living document. We are going to have a group of stakeholders, including the city and RTC, that are going to review this regularly and see how we're making progress, make changes as necessary. And I just think it's a really exciting era that we're entering into here for both the university and the city.
And we'll have more updates along the way in the coming months and over the years as the vision takes shape. You'll find links to the university's master plan on our website, kunr.org. This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. We've been talking today about the new master plan for the University of Nevada, Reno campus that was approved by the Nevada System of Higher Education Board of Regents in December. Joining me in the studio today has been University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman and Reno City Manager Andrew Klinger. Kevin, thank you as always.
Thank you for the opportunity as always.
And Andrew, thank you for coming to KUNR for this conversation and for your collaboration on this important project.
Yeah, very exciting. Thank you.
And thanks for listening to KUNR Reno Public Radio.